Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Steve Kenyon Podcast. This is episode number 35, in case anybody's keeping track, which, to be honest, I haven't been either. But it's episode number 35, and we're going to talk a lot about the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo in Houston, Texas. Our Classic Equine Classic Ropes featured interview of the week, Creek Young, who has had an amazing couple of weeks. The bull rider out of Missouri, three-time national finalist, former Resist All Rookie of the Year, won the American $100,000, followed that up with a $50,000 win in Houston, number one in the PRCA's world standings right now. Creek has some interesting thoughts to share about where he's at, where the race is at, and a question that I was actually kind of interested in his answer to, about the fact that the guys who have won the last three world titles in pro rodeo, which if you consider that run that Sage Kimsey went on, is basically a decade's worth of gold buckles. Sage Kimsey, Stetson Wright, and Kai Hamilton, none of them are competing right now in the PRCA. Sage is focusing on the PBR. Stetson and Kai are both recovering from injuries. We'll get into all of that coming up in a few minutes from right now. We're also adding a new feature this week, our Equinity Horse of the Week. Because at Equinity Products, you can give your horse the Equinity Edge. This week, Sissy Wynn, she finished in the number five spot at Rodeo Houston, just made missed making it into the four-person showdown round, and we will talk to Sissy about her great horse, Scoop, coming up. Our program, as always, is sponsored by Wrangler, the official Western Wear Pro Rodeo, by the Justin Boot Company, by Resistall, by Prefert, and by Unbeatable Feeds. You'll find Unbeatable Feeds online at unbeatablefeeds.com. M2 Ranch Jerky, M2-RanchJerky.com is the website if you'd like to know more about true traditional cowboy jerky. Thanks to the Grand View at Las Vegas, the place we stay during the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, and of course to Classic Equine, Classic Ropes, and to our friends at Equinity. So let's talk a little bit about some of the highlights from the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Among the champions at Rodeo Houston, Leighton Berry, who has now won back-to-back bareback riding titles. We talked to Leighton Berry about his success over the last 2 years at Rodeo Houston.
No, I appreciate it, Steve. It was a pretty awesome feat. I'm very blessed to have done it.
Tell me about Sunday. Take me through. Start with the 10-round. Tell me about the 10-man at Houston and the horse you got on.
Yeah, I had Ain't No Angel of the Survey Rodeo Company, a horse I'd had some good luck on before. I had her in San Antonio short round a couple of years ago, and we ended up teaming up for the same score of 88, and I think I got a check on her at the NFR 2 years ago, so I always had had some good luck on her.
You were 91.5 on Agent Lynx in the championship round. You know, Leighton, that horse, sometimes I wonder if that horse gets enough credit for how good that horse is.
You know, that horse is getting better all the time. I'm not sure how old she is now, but she's starting to get right in the prime age of, you know, where she's just getting better all the time. I give a lot of credit to that horse. That was my third time there as well, and always seemed to been a lot of points on that horse. But this was definitely my best ride on her, and I want to say she had her best day too. So that was kind of the horse I was eyeballing coming into the four man.
So you say you've been on Agent Lynx three times. Does that horse have basically the same trip every time? Do you kind of know what to expect?
You know, she's always going to leave hard and start really quick and have some kind of wicked moves and then usually lines out. But yeah, you never really know which direction she's going to go or how hard she's going to bring it. But man, that was definitely the best trip I've had out of her was in Houston. And man, it was electric the whole time. And I knew we were going to, have a pretty good score on the board after the whistle.
Leighton Berry actually won Rodeo Houston riding with a borrowed Riggin. His horse in the 10 round reared back on him, broke his Riggin handle, and so he borrowed Keenan Hayes, the world champion's Riggin. It turned out to work out. Leighton Berry won his second straight title at Rodeo Houston. Kind of a Hollywood ending in the tie-down roping where the Harris boys, Ty Harris and his younger brother Joel Braden Harris, ended up in a tie at the end of the four-man shootout round, a pair of 8.2-second runs. That meant a rope off between the two cowboys, both of whom, by the way, were riding the same horse, a bay horse named Mo. Ty Harris talked to us about it.
Man, it was crazy. Me and Braden we've joked about not doing any good at the same rodeo throughout his whole rookie year. We never really even placed at the same rodeo, you know, and we roped at the same rodeos, the same exact performances all year long, and never really did any good. So it was kind of, we had joked about that last year, and then so for our first one to have any success at, to be Houston and actually tie and win first and second at the biggest rodeo of the year. I mean, It's pretty crazy. Like you said, pretty storybook ending for sure.
It came down to a rope off between the two of you. Joel Braden broke the barrier. And so all you had to do was be like 19.5 or something like that. How did you approach that last run?
Man, it happened so fast. I just said, don't break the barrier and then go make your run. I just told myself to not lay off too much where something crazy would happen, you know, not miss the barrier too far, but to just see a good, honest start and then, you know, go make my run. I didn't try to put too much thought into it. That's where I usually do better, when there's not that much thinking involved, whenever I can just go react.
Champions at Rodeo Houston, Dakota Eldridge in the steer wrestling, J.C. Yaquo, Buddy Hawkins in the team roping. Leslie Smoligo won the barrel race. Jackie Crawford, her first title at Rodeo Houston in the breakaway roping and the saddle bronc riding. It was Damian Brennan, 91 points on the Survey Rodeo Company's R. Watson's Ed Bishop to win $50,000. Brennan now number one in the bronc riding in world standings. Think about this. Damian Brennan won $166,000 at the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo in December. The current rodeo season started on October the 1st. He's won $106,000. That's over $270,000 that Damian Brennan has won in basically the last 6 months.
Yeah, it's been incredible. Yeah, like you said there before, you know, I've had a really good NFR and then had a cracking winner, so cannot be complaining, that's for sure.
$166,000 at the NFR, two go-round wins, if I remember right. And So far, since October 1st, since the new rodeo season started, $106,000, including that $50,000 out of Houston, which my math ain't real good, but that's over $270,000 in 6 months. Damian, is there a point where a switch flipped, where something happened, and you've been able to grab this gear that you've been on right now? Have you thought about it in those terms at all?
Yeah, I feel like it really started switching over for me probably Calgary last year. I think I had not even $30,000 one going into Calgary. And then I made the foreman there at Calgary. And then I just had a really good summer last year and snuck, you know, got into the NFR. And then it just hasn't stopped from then pretty well since Calgary. And then I've just had a good finals and then kept it rolling over under this winner.
Let's talk about Houston. On Sunday afternoon, you made a 90-point ride on Wild Cherry and then came back and made a 91-point ride in the championship round on the Survey's R. Watson's Ed Bishop. Tell me if I'm right or wrong in what I'm about to say, and then I'm going to ask you to talk about both of those rides. Those are two completely different horses. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, I think so. Wild Cherry's pretty, how do you explain it? It's happening. Like, it's Ed Bishop. There's a lot more timing with Ed Bishop, whereas Wild Cherry's, she's getting it.
Wild Cherry can live up to her name if you're not, especially in the bucking shoots. I don't know if she's still, she can have some times when she's a little tough to get out on. How was she on Sunday?
She was good. She was really good. I kind of just snuck around her and got everyone to stay away from her head, because if you get around her head, she'll try and mash you in the chute. And, Cody DeMoss was actually right there, and I just kind of sat there and got her to stand up, didn't pick up on my rein, and she left pretty good for me.
Yeah. And then Ed Bishop is, as you mentioned, it's a lot more of a timing kind of a horse. Tell me about the ride that won you that $50,000 at Rodeo Houston.
Yep. I just tried to get a good solid spur out, because you can't, you know, there's a mark out rule there. So you got to make sure you get him spurred out, and just pick the timing up straight away, and coming across there, it felt great going across there. That horse gives you all the timing in the world. And once the 8 seconds went, I knew it was going to be good, but I was still never quite sure. And once I got off and heard the score, I was very pumped.
Damian Brennan, the number one ranked saddle bronc rider right now in the PRCA and one of the hottest young talents on the planet in professional rodeo right now. You can watch all of those interviews on our 8 Seconds Media YouTube channel, and we post them on our Next Gen Rodeo partners' social media sites and on our 8 Seconds Media Facebook page as well, which is approaching 50,000 followers, which is kind of cool. Thank you for all the support. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, you'll meet our Quinity Horse of the Week. It's Sissy Wynn's Barrel Horse Scoop and our Classic Equine featured interview coming up with Creek Young, who's won $150,000 in the last 2 weeks. That's on the way. You're listening to the Steve Kenyon Podcast.
Hey, y'all, this is Cody Johnson. When I was starting out in music, most every radio station and venue I went to told me no. At that point, you got two options: tuck tail and quit, or buckle down and fight. Well, I'm a fighter, not a quitter. And that's why I wear Wrangler jeans and shirts. Their toughness and style are legendary. They're an iconic symbol of the West, and there's no quit in them either. Life's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And if I'm going to enjoy the ride, I'm riding in Wrangler. Wrangler. Long live Cowboys.
New styles join our time-tested Justin Bent Rail collection, like the rugged men and women who wear them. These boots stand for quality, integrity, tradition, and hard work. Straight from our legendary El Paso factory, our expert bootmakers build these boots with features that would make even the earliest cowboys proud. Outfit yourself today with a Bent Rail collection by Justin.
There's no pretending to being a cowboy. Either you are or you aren't. Which is why everything we do as a company improves or preserves this way of life. The romance, the honesty, the toughness, the craft. More cowboys, please. America could use them. Resist All. We live it every
day. Prefer is proud to introduce Estate Fencing. This unique all-metal fence uses the same swedge connecting rail as our popular Ponderosa fence, allowing it to flow beautifully along the contour of your land. With rails and posts constructed from galvanized material covered with an architectural grade powder coat finish, it resists fading, rust, and other outdoor conditions. This fence is strong enough to last a lifetime and safe enough to house livestock. Best of all, no welding required. For more information, visit prefertfence.com.
Every day.
The Steve Kenyon Podcast is being sponsored by Unbeatable Feeds. I cannot tell you how well the forage-only feeds are doing across the country. People are really falling in love with one of the simplest feed products in the country. It's beet pulp, alfalfa, and flaxseed oil. Those are the three ingredients. You can get all the details, find a dealer near you at unbeatablefeeds.com. Check out M2 Ranch Jerky. True traditional cowboy jerky is coming to a store near you very soon. M2-Ranch.com is the website. A big thank you to the Grandview at Las Vegas. Ever since 2008, the Grandview has been the place we've stayed during the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. Make your reservations and more at dailymanagementresorts.com. Our Classic Equine, Classic Ropes interview of the week coming up. Creek Young, who is the number one ranked bull rider right now in the PRCA after his win in Houston. And before that, a $100,000 win at the American Rodeo. We'll get to that in just a moment. Our friends at Equinity, we're partnered with them on your Equinity Horse of the Week. This week, we talked to Sissy Wynn. She's a Wrangler National Finals Rodeo Barrel Racing Qualifier. Won two go-rounds last December at the NFR on a horse called Scoop. She just missed the four-round in Houston. She finished in the number five spot, basically, at Rodeo Houston, and we asked her to tell us about Scoop. Scoop had, I thought, even though you didn't make it into the final round, I thought Scoop had a good trip to Houston.
Man, he was so solid every run. I mean, we came out with about $11,000, and last year I made the top four, and we won $12,000. So this year he was more consistent. He ran harder. He performed better. Even though I didn't make the championship round, that's just how it goes sometimes. But I was so proud of Houston and his performance overall.
In the 10 round, the qualifying round to get into the shootout round, Sissy was fifth, and they bring four back. Tell me about Scoop. And I want to start with this. Tell me where he came from, how he became a good barrel horse. Did you train him? Somebody else start him? You buy him? Tell me about Scoop.
Scoop was always an amazing barrel horse. Danielle Campbell trained him in Futurity, derbied on him. And I remember watching him on Facebook years ago when she ran him. And I just thought that horse, he was incredible. He won so much with her at a young age. And then actually 2 years ago this month, she put him on Facebook and to sell. And I gave her a call at 11 o'clock at night. And I said, please don't sell this horse. Let me come try him. And I tell people, you know, I bought a horse, but I also have a friend with that horse, which is Danielle Campbell. And she's like my mentor. So it's unbelievable what horses can do. You know, for us, they're not just, you know, obviously they're our job, what we do, but they bring so much more, you know?
He is 11 years old. I know that, and part of what we're doing here is we're talking about equinity. Talk to me about the equinity impact on your horse.
Well, what I love about equinity is it's 100% amino acids, no starches, no sugars. It just helps repair just the overall body recovery, muscles faster. And when we're on the road, we need that. And what I tell people about equinity, it's so easy. You just put a little powder, you know, I do two scoops, one in the morning, one at night, because I think it lasts like every 12 hours. I just want to keep replenishing that and have it in their body. And I also use the oil in the morning, but I just think it just helps with the overall performance of the horse. It's one of the easiest products that I have that just benefits them overall.
What is it about Scoop when you are competing that makes him good? Is he fast? Is he a tourney horse? What is it about Scoop?
There's so many things about Scoop. If I really start talking about it, I'll start crying. But just being on Scoop, it's like, wow, I have my unicorn. Everyone talks about their special horse, their heart horse, and Scoop's my heart unicorn horse, whatever we want to call it. But I mean, he can do outside pins like he liked Houston. But then we can go to Vegas, and he loved, you know, Las Vegas. So he's just an all-around really good, consistent horse indoors and outdoors.
More with Sissy Wynn. You can watch the entire interview on our 8 Seconds Media YouTube channel, and you can find it as well on our 8 Seconds Media Facebook page and social media sites. We are proud to be sharing an awful lot of information right now with Next Gen Rodeo and Next Gen Rodeo Media. Go to the Next Gen Rodeo Facebook page, and you'll find out all about everything that we are doing, weekly Western sports recaps and more from Next Gen Rodeo Media. Go to the Next Gen Rodeo Facebook page and get all the details. This week's Classic Equine Classic Ropes featured interview of the week is with bull rider Creek Young, who just had an amazing couple of weeks. He won $100,000 on March the 9th, a Saturday, at the American Rodeo, and then turned around and won another $50,000 on March the 17th, a Sunday, at Rodeo Houston. And we talked to Creek Young about all of that and more. Creek, welcome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you.
Has that set in, what you've done over the last couple of weeks?
I think kind of. Yesterday was the first day being home, not having any big rodeos coming up on the schedule, kind of getting some downtime. It's finally starting to set in a little bit. Rolling right from the American into Houston. Didn't want to get too high off that first win because I knew it doesn't count towards a gold buckle. So we got to keep it rolling into Houston, get some money, won in the world standings to give myself a chance. And so I think this week will probably be the first week that it really sets in and really sinks in.
Yeah. You came out of Super Series number 2 in Houston, right?
I think I was Super Series number 3.
You were Super Series 3. You're right.
There was 2 before me.
Yeah, you're right. Super Series 3. I'm sorry. And so tell me about that time from the American to the short round in Houston. What did you do during that time? Did you just to... There was obviously a semifinal in Houston. What'd you do?
Well, the way it worked out, actually, so I went down, I drove down to Houston for my Super Series set, and had 2 days in between my Super Series set, in between the American. So I just hung out down there in Houston and drove to the American after my Super Series set. And then after the American, I went ahead and drove home and was home for that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then flew out Wednesday to go down there a day before my semifinal set in Houston. I didn't do much. I spent all night driving back after the American Saturday night and just got home and tried to rest those 2 days. And then I got on a plane Wednesday evening going back to Houston, Getting on Thursday evening.
Yeah. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff folks don't ever know about the amount of travel and the logistics and how good you guys get to at using Expedia and whatever to get your get everything booked. Let's talk about Houston. You had a really good day on Sunday. The championship shootout round, you were 87 on Servi's Preacher. You were 86.5 on Servi's Midnight Flyer in the 10 round. Tell me about that Preacher bull. Were those two bulls similar or were they completely different? Tell me about about Sunday.
I think they were both – they were kind of similar, at least in the direction. They both went away from my hand to the left. They're a little bit different in their style, but you kind of got to ride them the same way with them being away from my hand. The Preacher bull actually is a bull I got on in my semifinals set at Houston also, and he went right with me the first time, and he was a little bit harder around to the right. And then I ended up getting him drawn in the foreman, and – he went left with me in the foreman, so it was a different trip, and it's kind of cool getting on the same bull twice with that tournament format. You can do that, so it was definitely kind of cool with him having a different trip there.
So tell me, did you expect that? Were you surprised? Do you? I've had a lot of bull riders tell me, and I forget, I think you and I talked about this once. I've had a lot of bull riders tell me they don't really want to know a lot because they don't want to set a trap and get in trouble. How did it matter to you that he went a different way on Sunday than he did the first time around?
It really kind of caught me off guard the first time because that is not his norm. To the right isn't his norm. He usually goes to the left like he did on Sunday. So the first time it kind of caught me off guard, and making that ride in the semifinal set kind of got me. He bucked me off right there at the whistle and kind of stomped on me a little bit. And so that one kind of caught me off guard. He's usually around the left. So Sunday, I was really ready for anything, and I was kind of happy that he went away from my hand. I think he's a little smoother that direction, but definitely opened my eyes knowing he could do anything, and especially in that four-man position, you want to stay on. I was the last guy to go, didn't know what to expect, and I was glad to get it done for sure.
Yeah. Did you think you had made a ride that was as good as the ride you had made? All you needed to do is be 82.5. Roscoe Jarboe was sitting there at 82. Did you realize you were going to be that many points when you got off?
I wasn't too sure. I was pretty sure that we were gonna probably take the lead. Roscoe's bull didn't have his day.
Yeah.
But going into it, if I could have picked any of them, I would have handpicked Roscoe's. I thought he was the best bucking bull in the set, just didn't happen to have his day. And I was pretty positive that I was going to be more points, just that bull didn't have the best day possible. And I thought mine had a better day than he did the first time around. And I think I was like 80, right at 82 in that semifinal set on that same bull. So I was pretty sure.
Let me ask you about Roscoe real quick, and then I want to talk to you about the American. Roscoe, to me, was a profile in courage in Houston. He was beat up. Boyd Paul-Hamus, I think, made a comment about he spent more time in the sports medicine room than he did in the hotel room while he was there. For him to do, and I think didn't they offer him a re-ride, now that I think about it, in the four round?
Yeah.
Which I don't know that he could have gotten on it, but just talk about Roscoe and how, I know he's tough. I've known him for a long time, but that was.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roscoe's definitely super tough. He's a guy that I've looked up to since before I was in pro rodeo, since I was 17 years old, 16, 17, watching Roscoe at the NFR and his style of riding bulls. I've always been a fan of Rocks, and he's dang sure tough. I know if he would have felt confident in getting on another one, he dang sure would have. He was dang sure hurting all week.
Yeah. Tell me about the American. You were the last guy to ride in the four round. At the time that you got on, there were two bull riders who were both eligible for the $1 million who were tied and would have had a write-off if you didn't beat them. And then you broke both their hearts and beat them. Won that $100,000. They're going to kill me for saying that. Won that $100,000 in the process. Tell me about the American and what was going through your mind on that final bull.
I knew that I probably had the best bull in the set, but being the best bull, he's probably the hardest bull to stay on. He hasn't been bucked in a while. He was fresh. He'd just come off a horn infection at the NFR. We actually didn't get to buck him at the NFR because he had a horn infection, and he was feeling pretty fresh in the bucking shoot and in the lead ups when I was putting my rope on, and I knew he was going to pitch, go out there and buck. And Stetson won it on him there last year, but yeah, it was definitely tough. He beat me around the corner, and I don't know, I was just hanging on. I was glad to get the whistle, but it was dang sure close. And going into it, I felt like I had probably the best bull, but getting him rode was another thing.
Yeah. Tell me about, like, we talked about your bulls in Houston. Was this bull at the American a bigger challenge? Was he more difficult? I watched the ride. I honestly don't remember what the bull did. If he turned back away from your hand, into your hand, changed directions, I don't remember. But was this bull a little bit harder to ride than the one you had in Houston in the four round?
Yeah, absolutely. It was my first time being on Glory Days, and a lot of people ride him. He's bucked a lot of people off, good people. And so he was probably tougher, but I don't know. It's just I got on Preacher, the bull I got on in the four-man at Houston. I got on him in my semifinal set, so I had a little more confidence. I don't know that it was maybe easier or harder. Had more confidence probably going in, knowing I'd been on that bull, knowing exactly what he feels like. I've never been on Glory Days. No, he bucks pretty hard. He's bucked some good guys off. A lot of people, good people have rode him for good scores. So I probably had more confidence going into the four-man of Houston, but they're both tough bull rides.
In the last – I started this off by talking about money. In the last less than 2 weeks, at the age of 23 – you've won $150,000, actually a little bit more than $150,000. Creek, there were years that made you a contender for a world title in December, and you've done it in 2 weeks in March. What have you thought? Have you allowed your mind to kind of wander to what you've done? What goes through your mind when you think about that? Because to me, that's a cool accomplishment.
It's super cool, especially with it being such a short time frame. But like I said, I'm very gold-driven, and it's a gold buckle that I'm motivated towards, and the American's awesome, but none of that money counts towards a gold buckle, and so I got 100,001 in the world standings, and that's great. Never had it won this early in the season in my career, but if you look back at what Kai did last year, he won dang near 600,000, so I'm a half million away from my goal, and that still seems like a long way, so that's going to keep me driven and motivated, I think, throughout the summer. Is to just kind of look at it in that perspective and just keep going with it. But at the same time, I'm doing stuff that I've never done before, and I'm pretty excited.
Do bull riders get on a groove? I know a couple of times I've said, announcing a rodeo, that somebody's, you know, maybe had a little bit of a lull, hasn't ridden a bull in, you know, a little bit, and, you know, and the comment rodeo announcers seem to make sometimes, yeah, but you only need to ride one to break the ice. Well, your ice got broke a long time ago. Are you in a groove right now? How does it feel? What's going through your mind? Are you confident when you get on? How does it feel?
Yeah, I'm very confident when I'm getting on right now. And I think it's a test to kind of, I chose to take kind of a different aspect at rodeo this year. I was not going to hit as many this winter and just make the big ones count as best I could. And that puts a little internal pressure on myself to do things with a purpose, because I have a goal in mind and I still want to achieve that, and to see if I can do it my own way, and then the easier way in my mind, getting on less bulls, but a little more pressure. If I don't do well at those big rodeos, I'm going to be at the back of the pack without any of those little rodeos to help, you know? So
yeah,
it's definitely a gamble, and I put some pressure on purpose. Put some pressure on myself on purpose a little bit.
Let's not forget, Creek talks about big rodeos. The extreme bull riding event during the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo, 179.5 on two, won the average, made a 92-point ride in a go-round, was 87.5 in the finals. That was worth a ton of money. Won the average at the Prairie Circuit Finals Rodeo, went on to San Antonio, and won over $22,000 in San Antonio. So I guess you've been making good on your promise to yourself to do well at those big rodeos.
Well, yeah, it's been a pretty good year. The past 2 years are really all I've been to those big rodeos. And I've been in those short round situations a lot, and I just hadn't been able to really make my mind up to make them count, or the pressure got to me, or whatever it was. But this year I decided I wasn't going to give myself a choice. If I'd either do good at the big ones, or I'd have some rodeoing to do come summertime. And I'm just really blessed that it worked out the way I thought it might.
Let me ask you two final questions. One about that. Does what you've done right now with still big wintertime rodeos with or springtime rodeos. You still got Austin. You still got San Angelo. There's a lot of money on the line over the next couple of months just in Texas before you go out and maybe head west and do some of those other things. But does what you've done right now with the goal in mind of winning a gold buckle and knowing what Kai did last year, does it alter your travel plans or anything you do going forward? You still got a lot of rodeos to use. You haven't been to that many rodeos yet.
Absolutely, and I got to get to 45 to make sure that Extreme Bulls money counts. Yeah. That's something that usually it's the opposite. I'm not worried about getting my count at all, but going to make sure to hit got to hit enough rodeos this summer, you know, in case of possible injury. We saw that with Sage last year. Right. You know, anything can happen. So need to definitely keep after it and hit these spring rodeos pretty hard. But I think I'm going to take a little week off prior and then kind of start back up, hit San Angelo and Clovis and everything coming up here in the month of April and stay after it.
Have you been to Austin yet?
I haven't. Actually, I'm not going just because my girlfriend and I have had a little vacation plan since the NFR, and we fly out the day of the short round. So we just couldn't make it work.
Well, the vacation is well-funded at this point, I think.
I told her it would make me feel a lot better missing Austin if I could have a little bit of cash in my pocket headed out.
Yeah. Creek, let me ask you, you know, it's interesting. You look at the bull riding. You mentioned in this conversation, you've mentioned three guys, Stetson Wright, Sage Kimsey, and Kai Hamilton. Kai's the reigning world champion. He's on the injured list right now. Stetson's recovering. Sage is both fighting with an injury and is focusing on the PBR. The last three world champions in the PRCA, none of them are competing right at the moment.
Absolutely.
You know, to be the best, you always want to beat the best. But right now, have you guys talked about this behind the bucking chutes? That door kind of seems to be wide open for somebody new to claim a gold buckle in 2024.
Absolutely. I think it's kind of unsaid. We all realize that there's a bunch of money to be won. I mean, like, just like you said, those three guys right there attest to over the past nine years of gold buckles just in the bull riding. And, it definitely, I don't know. I don't think we've talked about it as much because we know they're going to come back. We know they're going to be a threat, but we're just all trying to grind while they're gone, I guess.
Yeah. I was just thinking as I was asking that question, and Stetson and Kai are going to hear this, and they're both going to say, wait till we get back. We're not done yet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you can win a lot of money if you come back at even in Reno. I know Kai's talking about maybe June or the 4th of July. I'm not sure what Stetson's schedule is, but still, the fact that they're not there, the landscape is different for bull riders right now.
Absolutely. It just is. And you can either take advantage of it or not. And I'm just trying to make the most of it while they're gone because they're definitely real competitors and real threats. Like I said, they have a gold buckle each, and Stetson's got a couple of them, you know. So definitely something to think about. I mean, you got to.
Yeah,
they're too good not to give an advantage to.
Yeah, exactly. Creek Young, the champion at the American Rodeo for $100,000, and then 8 days later, the champion at Rodeo Houston for another $50,000. Little vacation, and then back in San Angelo, and it's off and rolling. Creek, congratulations. Tell me, before I let you go, and it's been a couple of years since I've asked you about this, but tell me the Creek Young story. You're the Resist All Rookie of the Year a couple of years ago. I think the first time you and I met, if I remember, you had just won the rodeo in Omak, Washington, and I interviewed you then. But tell me the story of what got you here and what got you to be one of the best bull riders in the country.
Oh, shoot. I don't know. I set my goals high. I really shot for the moon, in my opinion. Like, probably grew up just a little, I mean, I don't know how to explain it, I guess. I didn't have a bad way growing up, but I definitely didn't really think the yellow bucking chutes were possible. You know, it's a big, lofty goal, and just took it step by step, went real slow. I didn't ride bulls very good until I turned about 17. So, you know, that's a late maturing for a lot of bull riders. A lot of guys are maturing now, like whenever they're 14, 15, they can ride some dang sure good bulls, you know. And I was a late bloomer in the bull riding. I just kept my mind on my goals and shoot, when I turned 18, I had some good people around me that kind of pushed me in the right direction as far as learning how to pro rodeo and everything. And then whenever came time to buy my card, I just kind of was all in. It was all or nothing, and I was going to give it my all, and was blessed enough to make the finals and win the Rookie of the Year and come into the finals in the top five. And ever since I proved it to myself, it's just kind of been the standard. But it's time for the standard to change a little bit and not just be the yellow buck and shoots and maybe a gold buckle.
Yeah, that's the next step. I don't know how you it's a horrible question to say, how do you take that next step? How do you go from, because you never know what's going to happen at the NFR. But, you know, the next step now is not just getting to Las Vegas, which you're almost there. It took over 100,000 to get in last year. So you're pretty darn close. But then once you get there, what do you do over 10 nights to walk away with that gold buckle? That's going to be something you'll figure out over time.
Absolutely. I've been there three times, and I don't think I've performed to the best of my ability. Dang sure, I've let a lot of bulls that I know that I'm capable of riding slip by me, and I haven't had the best finals that would ensure a gold buckle, you know. And it's definitely a learning curve out there in Vegas. Learning how to compete out there is it's a new animal, definitely.
Is it different than during the? This is a dumb question because I know the answer. Is it different than during the regular season? Of course it is. There's more pressure. I don't know what the go rounds are going to pay. The payoffs going up again. It might be $30,000 go rounds this year. What's the pressure like when you're out there?
Well, I put pressure on myself just because I want to perform well. But I've never really been in a true pressure position at the finals. I haven't been a guy that was, you know, shooting for a world title really, except for that rookie year. I kind of had a slight chance, but I only rode three bulls, so my chance was pretty dead quick, you know, especially with those guys riding six, seven head of bulls. You know, I don't really have much of a shot even coming in behind the pack, you know, and I just haven't had the finals I needed, you know. And the last 2 years have just not been great at all, but I think I got my mind in the right mode to go after that gold buckle this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, you just handled a couple of pressure situations at Globe Life Field in Arlington and at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas, winning the American and Rodeo Houston back-to-back. Promise this is the last question. I asked Creek for a few minutes. I've kept him for 20. But you're a bull rider, so I know something hurts because of what you do for a living. How are you feeling? How's your health? How's your body?
I've been a little sore, you know. The American, I kind of hurt my elbow on that final four bull just the way he bucked me off. It just put all kind of pressure on my elbow whenever I came off. And it's been a little sore, those couple bulls in Houston. I've definitely been feeling it. My thumb has been kind of killing me since I hurt it a little bit in the fourth round of the finals. It kind of bothered me until Fort Worth, and then it kind of quit hurting over San Antonio. And then in the semifinals, I kind of screwed it up again. And when I do that, you just kind of get your rope a little bit stickier and just glue your hand in. And then that makes the get-offs a little bit rougher. And, you know, it's just soreness. Nothing's hurting, but I'm definitely sore. I'm ready for a little time off and then get back after it.
My prescription is go on a quick vacation and let yourself heal up for a week. Oh, wait, you're already doing that. Never mind. Creek Young, I appreciate your time. Congratulations. It's really cool to watch somebody of whom you've become a big fan, which I have, Creek. Last couple of weeks. It's been fun to watch. When you get back from wherever you're going, keep it up.
All righty, will do. I appreciate it.
Bull rider Creek Young joining us on the Steve Kenyon podcast. Our featured interviews are sponsored by Classic Equine. Play to win, Classic Equine, and by Classic Ropes. Success is in your hands. We are proud to be brought to you by Wrangler. Thank you to the Justin Boot Company, the standard of the West since 1879. To the Resist All Hat Company, we wear it every day. To Prefer, number one in ranch and rodeo. To Unbeatable Feeds, online at unbeatablefeeds.com. Thank you to M2 Ranch Jerky, to the Grandview at Las Vegas, dailymanagementresorts.com, and of course to Equinity. Give your horse the Equinity Edge. We'll do it again next week on the Steve Kenyon podcast. By the way, check out our Legends of the Hall podcast. It's an encore presentation with the great Billy Utbauer talking about saddle bronc riding, horses, and more. God bless everybody. This is the Steve Kenyon podcast. I'm Steve Kenyon.